Psalm chapter 33 and verse 12. Let's all stand. I'm sure you've heard this voice or this verse a lot of times. Heard this voice a lot of times too, for that matter. Not sure we're happy about any of that, but the Bible says in Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is Allah. Blessed is the nation whose God is money. It says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. There's only one. The Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, it is an absolute honor that I am being asked to preach on the day that we're celebrating for our veterans. There's never enough words that could be spoken. There's never enough sermons that could be preached. There's never enough cards that can be sent or medals to be awarded that would ever repay these men and women who have given of their lives for something bigger than themselves. Lord, please help us today. Help us to honor them by honoring you. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Two things have happened in my life that have touched me that I will never be able to remove and quite frankly never want to remove from my memory. They both have to do with giving me some semblance of patriotism in a country where patriotism has become a dirty word. I ventured to Pearl Harbor. I've told this story a lot of times, and to just pull the one thing out of it that I will never forget, the day that I went to the Arizona Memorial, you never know how you're going to react. And to be quite frank, you probably don't even think about what your reaction may be when you go to visit a place such as this. But being there over the top of a hull of a sunken ship that was doomed to go below to the depths on Sunday, I stood there looking into the mast that had been broken. Peering down into that hole, I saw flowers. I came to the realization that people don't bring flowers unless there's somebody there that they're missing. I looked over in the other part of the memorial where the names are listed of the men that gave their lives that day. The men that you look for your own family. You just wonder if there was somebody there that you would have a tie to. I didn't see any Ballards there. We're chickens. I left that room, and what touched me more than anything else on the trip was peering down into the hole in the center of the memorial and seeing the oil drops come to the surface. The ship still bleeds, I heard someone say. But the thing that I'll never forget was a man probably 85 years old put his weathered hand on my shoulder, and with a tear in his eye, he told me, hundreds of my friends are down there. That'll shake you. I couldn't get myself to look away from the man's eyes. I couldn't get myself to get away from the feeling that he was trying to give me that day. It became real to me the first time in my life what it meant to sacrifice for something greater than yourself. It became personal to me that day. It became something that was never going to get itself out of my mind. I'm in a place that is absolute paradise. Hawaii is just gorgeous. But on that day, all that faded in the tears of an elderly soldier, a survivor, who informed me that someday he's going to be proud to be buried in the turret of the Arizona with his friends. Veterans, if you're in here today, I can't say thank you and have that suffice. The second thing that happened to me, very peculiar, but I'm peculiar, so it fits well. Amen. I went to the nursing home, and this just happened not too long ago. And I watched Bill Lang stand there and play his mandolin. I watched him stand there with his hand that has been crippled from a war that he didn't necessarily want to fight. But I'm so glad that he fought. Amen. Many people will tell you that a Vietnam veteran doesn't deserve to be honored. Please don't let them tell you that. Amen. I am 39 years old. I was a baby boy when the Vietnam War happened. We didn't try to win the war back home, but the men who fought in it desperately tried to win. The fact that this country would be willing to take anything away from any man or any lady that ever served in any part, in any fashion, in any place in the military is sad. As I watched that man play his instrument for his Lord, it dawned on me that the service that he gave and the sacrifice that he made was for me. I've said this to you before, and I will probably say it until I die, Pastor. The sacrifice that the soldiers gave became personal to me in those two instances. You watch these men and ladies stand up and tell you about their service. I would like the thought to ring out into your ears every time you hear a veteran state where he's from, that the sacrifice and the years that he served were for you. Yep. Were for you, my friend. The sacrifices that they made became very real to me that day when I understood that they would not be tolerant of the battle being fought on our own soil. So they took the battle there. In a foreign land, in places where I could not go, they went and fought for me. For me. Bill Lang did not know who I was. You fellas that have served in the military, you did not know who I was when you gave your lives and gave your sacrifice and gave your time and walked away from your families and walked away from your friends, walked away from your home soil just to serve for the greater good. You did not know who I was. Yet you still went. I can never thank you for that. We're going to talk a little bit about America today, if you don't mind. I've heard it said, believe it or not, that preacher in churches, we ought not talk about military. I've heard that said. I tell those people, I tell you what. When we get to heaven, go ask Joshua how he feels about that. We ought not dismiss our military. We ought to be thankful for them. Amen. We ought to honor them. Yeah. And would to God we'd help them and be with them side by side in a bigger army. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You ever think about the miracle? The title of the message today, Brother John, is something worth fighting for. We live in a country worth fighting for. You ever think about the miracle that is our country? Now listen, you're going to have to bear with me because I am a patriot. Amen. Part of our school motto has patriotism right in the label. Amen. Jack. So let me explain something to you. When your kids come home holding the flag high, thank God you've got a school that still believes in the Pledge of Allegiance and the words "under God" in the verse. I'm not going to let anybody in my presence take a match to this old glory. Take away the title of preacher, I'm jacking their jaw. You don't think I would, do you? Try it out. That's something worth fighting for. You ever thought about the miracle that is our country? Just to get here. Brave men or crazy men had to get in boats that weren't the Titanic and come across the Atlantic with the thought that we may never see land, with the thought that the world may be flat. Apparently they ignored the Bible where it talks about the sphere of the earth. With the thought that we may never make it home. It is a wonderful miracle that you're an American today. Amen. Think about that for a minute. Men had to set out in ships that were precarious at best on a fantastically arduous journey through many storms and waves and shipwreck. It is a miracle we ever even got here. But God had a plan. Just to get this country up and running in the midst of a wild and untamed land, sickness, no shelter, no direction, no turning back, no surety of their future, no Walmart, no Cracker Barrel, no toilets or showers in their homes. It's a miracle that we even survived when we got here. Could you imagine surviving without Walmart today? I know it'd be easier to make my house payment if that dumb place didn't exist, I'll tell you that. But God had a plan. After significant failures and tragic death, seeking God in a new land without law against worship was something that kept folks coming. Can you imagine that? The folks kept coming here because this is a place that you could worship God and not be chastised for it. This is a place where you could worship God. You could hold up your Creator. You can preach creation in school. We mention evolution in this school as being evil. Not as a proven theory that has absolutely so many holes inside of it that you can't even look at it for 10 minutes without thinking, "Good Lord, have mercy." You think I came from a monkey? The monkey's upset and embarrassed over that. You can even think for 1 minute how crazy it is that we made it while we were here through all the desperate tasks. The reason that I say this, God had a plan for this nation. He did not build it on the back of losers. God had a plan. Through the blood-bought battles fought with the Native Americans, the harsh winters of our northern states, still we pushed into the land, making a way to get a life free. A free life to make a living and free to have church and raise a family in a place that was free. Through the failures and death and trials, it is a miracle that folks were drawn to this great land that we call America. We curse potholes. Think about that for a minute. We curse potholes. They didn't even have road when they got here. They took horse-drawn carriages through woods, having to chop down trees and make paths for your wagon to be drawn through by animals that you were eventually going to eat. It's a miracle that this country made it, but do you know why it made it? Because God had a plan. Instilled in the hearts of the settlers that made this journey and the majority of them that sacrificed their very lives came to the realization of a truth. This beautiful place we call America is worth fighting for. God had a plan to use a country of men and women with unwavering courage, unsurpassed tenacity to be the launching pad for Christianity since the 1500s. Think about that for a minute. What other nation on the whole planet, what other nation was the launching pad for Christianity but the United States of America? We literally made it to a place. We made it to a place where a country was built on strong people that held God as what they're going to worship. That's what this country was built on. That's something worth fighting for. I love the fact that England could not own us. I love the fact that civil war could not tarnish the spirit of the American people, and we became our one nation. This has been something worth fighting for. The glory of the canyons, the majesty of the mountains, the beauty of the seas, the intricate patterns the rivers cut out through the countryside, the steadfast flight of the bald eagle, the sovereignty of our flag, all topped by the one thing that is truly worth fighting for, and that's our freedom, brother! This country was not built on sissies. This country was not built on patsies. You see these veterans stand. These veterans are heroes. They're not patsies. They're not sissies. They're not going to tuck tail and run. This country was not built on that. This country was built on a fight. All these things have been passed down from generation to generation on the backs and the blood of soldiers that have fought and paid for our most beloved asset. Our freedom. Freedom to witness. Freedom to serve our God. Freedom to worship our God. Freedom to learn of God and His wonderful creation. That is something worth fighting for. God had a plan for this country to be founded on Him. It was by the mighty arm of God that we have this wonderful place we call home. I'm going to stop there for a minute. It breaks my heart. I've heard the statement saying, if you want to own a country, you own their youth. You train their youth to be what you would like them to be. I guarantee you, if you go back even 100 years, the kids didn't learn anything like they learn today. That literally, people gave their lives for something greater than themselves. They fought and died. You saw a man with tears running down his face, telling you about his brother that died in a war in the tail of a plane. Why? For freedom. Many folks gave the ultimate sacrifice for your freedom, for the freedom that we have today, freedom that is a sidebar, freedom that is a bad word. I can't understand why we've got a man leading this country that is willing to go into other nations apologizing that we're winners. I've got a problem with not being a winner. Yeah. I live in America. We're built on winners. Yeah. We're built on being, and you know what? That's not popular preaching. That's not popular preaching. And I imagine that some of you are saying today, well, brother, you ought not preach politics. Glory to God, you tell that to Joshua. Yeah. Glory to God, you tell that to Moses. You tell that through the men that have led the Christian movement in this country. I would to God that we'd have more Christians serving in office. Yeah. I would to God we had more people. Listen, yeah, keep politics keep church out of politics, right? Why in the world would they even think about putting the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court? Why? Because that is the supreme law. Yeah. These men and ladies that stood up before you today fought for that America. I understand that not everybody that served in the army had God on their mind. I understand that. But you understand this. God had America on His mind when we won the battles that we won. Because if you live in a defeated America, then you live in a defeated Christianity. You can say what you want to say. The statistics are there. We are the ones that sent out the missionaries. We are the ones that propagated the gospel. We are the ones that cared about the word of God. Glory to God, you take away the sweat and the blood and the tears of the soldiers that fought and died for our country. You have got a diluted gospel. Oh, brother, you can't put those two things together. Oh, yes, I can. They fought for the fact that we are able to preach.
Amen.
They fought because it was something worth fighting for. Let me tell you something. I know a soldier. I know a soldier who went into a country that was not his own. I know a soldier that went into a foreign land. He left the comfort and beauty that was his home. He left the safety of home, and he came down and saw a land that, boy, he saw a need, and he desperately wanted to fill it. He saw a need where he saw people that didn't have freedom. He saw people that were in bondage. He saw people that were crying out for something better than what we had. He saw a people that desperately needed help. He answered the call. He left that land. He came down and breathed bonded air. That soldier became a servant for us. Just as you became a servant for this country called America. He came down to this earth, and the earth wouldn't receive him. He came down to this earth and begged them while he was here to, let's set up the kingdom right now. Now, I understand that this soldier knew the beginning and the end. Nothing ever occurred to this soldier. And I've had it told me that because he knew the beginning and the end, it made what he did a lot easier. That's dumb. Man, if you know what's coming, does that make it easier or harder? I know when I go to the dentist, I'm going to hear that drill. I know I'm not going to die on the other end, but that doesn't mean going to the dentist is fun. It makes it worse. I'm a sissy. I get to the dentist, my hands get all clammy. 9-year-old little girls walk in. Hey, dentist, how you doing? I'm getting 3 cavities fixed, a tooth pulled, but it'll be all right. I get a lollipop at the end. I'm getting a cleaning, and I'm going in going, oh, man. Is there any way you can put me to sleep for this cleaning? It made it easier. Because he knew. Listen to this now. Because he knew who we were, him coming is sweeter. He knew who I was. Bill Lang didn't know who I was, yet he still went. Jesus Christ knew who I was, and he still came. He said, man, I know Brother Dave is a mess. Infixable. But I think that he's someone worth fighting for. Came to this earth, bled and died for you and for me. I often think of the hymn, could we with ink the ocean fill? Were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure! How measureless and strong. It will forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. We owe everything to him. It does not take a scientist to see that God has prepared this nation to serve him. I'm not ready, friends. I'm not ready to give up on my country. I'm not ready to give up and say it's not worth fighting for. I can't look Bud Boggs in the eye and tell him, "Brother Bud, I can't fight anymore. I can't look Captain Freimeyer in the eye and say, 'Brother Mike, this nation that you're serving right now, I can't fight for it anymore.' I'm not willing to look these veterans in the eye and say, 'Your nation that you're fighting for is not worth it anymore.' I'm not ready to put my hands up. I'm ready to put my hands up to Jesus Christ and say, 'Lord, we need your help.' What I'd rather do is say, 'Hey, let's grab a hold of the flag today and wave it up high for what America started with.'" The miracle that is America is not going to be tarnished by men. Freedom is going to be freedom. Whether we accept it or not is up to us. Hey, that's not true. Really? Really? Because if you accept Christ as your Savior, you get the ultimate freedom. If you realize that these men sweat and died for you, you realize what your freedom cost. My friend, you could have been born in Iraq. You could have been born in Afghanistan. You could have been born a Muslim. You could have been born in a place that does not have freedom. You could have been born in a place where people come into your homes and shoot you for the name of Christ. You could have been born in a place where you can't have church. You could have been born in a place where you can't sing about America. You could have been born in a place that does not suffer freedom. You could have been born in a place that says you will do this and you will do that and you have no choice. You were not born in a place that is void of the Word of God. You were not born in that place. Do you want to know what the miracle of America is? The miracle is, this is where I get to be. Oh yes, we are in trouble. I'll be the first to admit that. But why we're in trouble is what's curious. Why we're in trouble is what puzzles me. The foundations of our nation were built on the very thing that we're ignoring today. The soldiers that fought and died and fought for freedom. And that freedom was given to us by Almighty God. Why in the world would we be satisfied with being losers? That's what's popular today. It is popular today to apologize. It is 12 o'clock. I'm not done. It is popular today to say I'm sorry for being a conqueror. It is popular today to say, you know what, you believe what you want to believe. You see those bumper stickers driving me nuts, one thing you want to throw up. The bumper stickers say coexist. You ever seen those? With every symbol that's on there, everybody just live together and be happy. And you burn in hell, and you would to God, a Baptist preacher would have come to you and said, this is how you get to heaven when you die. Why do we apologize for that? Oh, I'm sorry for being dogmatic. I'm sorry for there being only one word of God. I'm sorry, you loser. That's not what this country was built on. This country's not built on being tucktail. This country's not built on that. This country was built on strength and honor and wisdom. This country was built on Jesus Christ. This country was not built by a bunch of patsies that came over here. These were real men, real women that devoted their lives to give us a place where we could hold up Christ. Man, that's good preaching. You ought to be happier than that. I want you to read a scripture, and I'm closer to done. You hear all the time about how much of a patsy the Savior really would be. He would come here and he would tolerate everything. He would just be so sweet and gentle. You don't know Christ real good. I threw chairs this morning in Sunday school. You missed that. He didn't come into the church skipping and humming a tune when they were using his church as a bingo hall. And by the way, this church is a sanctuary. It's not a coffee house. Boy, that's good preaching. Don't come up in here thinking we're just going to have a party in the sanctuary. This is where we talk about God here. This is where we preach about Christ here. That's what Christ wants, by the way. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Oh, this is so good. Oh, man, I would to God you'd understand what you were here for. You are not here to be a loser. You're not here to be a wimp. Don't apologize. Don't apologize. It's like owning a machine gun and bringing a knife to the fight. Dumb. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freedom is found in him. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, well, Brother Dave, that's elect. There it is. Yep, everybody. Yep, everybody's elect. I love that kind of preaching. It's so stupid. God knows who's going to get saved. Nothing ever occurred to God. God can call people that get saved whatever he wants to call them, Christian. If he calls them elect, that's probably because he knows they're going to be saved. Do you know who those people are? If you don't know, then maybe you ought to tell somebody so they maybe were part of that elect plan. Amen? We are supposed to witness. We're supposed to tell people about Christ. You have to throw out about 300 verses in the Bible to get out of witnessing for him. Foreknowledge and predestination are two wholly different things, Christian. Predestination means, well, only the people that are going to get saved are going to get saved. So we don't have to witness. Thank you, Mr. Calvin. A man much smarter than I, so stupid he can't see that we're supposed to tell people about Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us right now, Christian. He's not tucking tail, apologizing for who he saved. Right now, Christ is up there saying, hey, don't lay anything to Rod Black's charge. I've forgotten all of his sin. Oh, that's good stuff, Christian. He not only walked this earth, but continues to fight for us today. Why? To give us freedom. I love it when people talk about, we just can't win anymore. We can't win if we don't fight. Well, the Lord's coming back. And if the Lord's coming back, then what are we going to do? What can be done? Here comes the Lord. How are you going to feel when he shows up? How are you going to feel when he comes back? And you're saying, I just didn't think it was worth fighting for. Then I want you to look into the eyes of the great cloud of witnesses that went before us. I want you to look into the eyes of the men and ladies that gave their lives preaching and upholding the very word that we hold so dear today. We hold it so dear, we put it on our coffee tables and let it gain dust just in case the preacher visits. That Bible should be used, brother. People died. Do you know why John went to the Isle of Patmos? Do you know why? Do you know why he was exiled? Do you know why he was beaten? Do you know why he was soaked in tar? Do you know why? For the Word of God. Because he wouldn't stop preaching. This country is worth fighting for. This faith is worth fighting for. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Should any of those things separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But listen to this next verse, my friends. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Let's read on. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does that sound like an apology? That sounds like we've got something, Christian, worth fighting for. Amen. That means to me that these soldiers that stood did not give their lives in vain. That means to me that the ones that died in these wars did not die in vain. The man that stood with me at Pearl Harbor and shed tears for lost loved ones, they did not die in vain. The men and ladies that came over and established our country, founded on God, did not die in vain. They died to give us something that is called the miracle that is America. Oh, beautiful. For spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. You've got to understand something. We did not live on a country founded on tolerance. We have got a country founded on God. I'm beseeching you, Christian, act like it. I'm 39 years old. I wanted to serve in the military. But because of psoriasis, they gave me a big fat red stamp, permanent medical disqualification. I'm saying that to you because I'm more thankful because of that for our men that serve. Because I could not go. I could not serve. They turned me down. When I got there, I couldn't believe they said no. Are you kidding me? Do you see me? Apparently that joke will curl your hair. I waited all that time, Lizzie. Okay. I could not serve. I could not go. Nevertheless, I walk in a country that's worth fighting for. How can we fight today? How can we fight for it today? Number one, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This America is yours. The soil that you walk is yours. It's an inheritance passed down by God. Yours. Don't you let anybody tell you, well, you offend me. So what? Your breath offends me. Don't be afraid. They're going to be offending you. The Bible says they're going to be offended. It's all right. Be proud of who you serve. Be proud that your general is Jesus Christ. Hold your head up high. You're an American. Hold your head up high. You live in a country of freedom. Do you know why they don't like us? Because they're not us. Do you know why everybody hates the Yankees? Because they win. And for some reason, everybody hates a winner. How about this? How about you become a winner? Understand you're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Why are we ashamed of being conquerors? Shake the hand at the end of the battle with the enemy. If you're on the winning side, it's easy to shake hands, ain't it? I get tired of this society we live in today. I told the kids, be good losers. Be good losers. And everybody's looking at me right. Well, I hope you don't teach that in a school not to be a good loser. No, I'm just teaching in a school to be a winner. Why worry about losing? The Bible says we're more than conquerors, amen? Do you know what? We've won. We've won. Why are we so afraid of that? Why are we so afraid to be winners? This country's worth fighting for. How do you do that? Don't be afraid. How do you do that? Grab your weapon and go to battle. Grab that King James Bible. Don't grab you anything else. Don't grab you a book by Chuck Swindoll. Don't you grab a book. Oh, boy, I'm going to name names again. Well, I'm going to name a lot of names if you stick with me long enough. Don't you sit there and say, well, you're going to grab a Joel Osteen book and think it's going to give you a life. Don't you grab that Rick Warren book. I got a purpose-driven life. The Lord gave you a purpose-driven life. Yeah. Understand what your purpose is, Christian. We've got a country worth fighting for. The reason that it's going in the direction it's going is because we've stopped fighting. I thank you, veterans, and I can never thank you enough. Because when you were in your battles, you never raised the white flag. When you were in your battles, you never surrendered. You didn't run the other way. You stood there and fought the enemy. Christian, I'm challenging you today. Don't you raise the white flag. Amen. These people that are in this room today that served our military, sacrificed for us, don't let that be in vain. Stand and fight, because we've been made more than conquerors through Him. And He was the greatest soldier of all. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the miracle that is America. It makes no sense that this country made it. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you very seldom make sense. It makes no sense that you died for us. It made no sense that you left heaven. But I sure am glad that you did. I sure am glad that you called preachers from America to propagate the gospel throughout the world. I'm thankful for the men and ladies that gave their lives to make that possible. Lord, please don't let us ever forget it. Lord, don't let us ever forget that people serve for something greater than themselves. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for making us winners. There's no room for losing in your army. I don't believe you've ever even fashioned a white flag for your army. Because with your army, we're going to be victorious. I'm thankful that even now we're victorious. Lord, let us not tuck tail and apologize for what you've done. Just help us to proclaim it. I'm not sure, Lord, if we're ever going to take this nation back. I'm not sure. But I do know this. It's worth fighting for. It's worth standing for. And Lord, I'm not ready to stop standing yet. I'm not ready to stop fighting, because I don't believe you're done yet. Lord, help us today to see that we've got something worth fighting for. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Close. First of all, have you been set free through Christ Jesus, our Lord? He made us conquerors through Him. You're here today and you know you've trusted Him as your Savior. You know you got victory over death and hell and the grave. You said, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I've been born again, washed in the blood." Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. I've been washed in the blood. Thank you. You may put him down. Is there anyone today that say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Let me see it. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. One last thing, then we're going to pray in the Christians. Christians, are you still in the battle? Have you given up? Maybe you need to re-enlist in the Lord's army again. Get back in the battle. The battle's not over. And the victory's ours. How many say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. Lately, I've been discouraged and I've not really been in the battle like I should be for Christ. Pray for me." Yes, yes, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message. Thank you, Father, for Christ who gave us the victory. Thank you for all these veterans, oh God, and the widows of our vets. They gave us a country here that we have a privilege to preach like this, freedom. Help us not to take anything for granted, especially the salvation that we have through Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.